Hi everyone, welcome back to Walk with Bex, and I am so excited to introduce my guest today, somebody that I have been following and been a huge admirer of for many, many years. We've become friends through social media, but literally only met today in person for the first time. She is an IFBB pro. She is a female boss in all shapes and forms. She has her own podcast, her own YouTube, her own coaching business. She is taking up space absolutely everywhere, like what I did there. And my guest today is Erin Thompson. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you so much. That introduction.
I just made that up. I forgot my notes today, literally.
I know. She was stressing, guys, that she forgot her notes for the podcast.
I love that you're addressing the camera straight away. You can't help yourself.
I know. It's just automatic because when I've got guests on as well, I'm like, I need to talk to the guests, but I also need to talk to the camera as well. But yeah, thank you so, so much for having me on. And thank you for a very amazing introduction as well.
I can't believe this is literally the first time we've met. And we were just saying off air, like, how long have we known each other? Years. Like literally what, 5, 6, 7 years even?
Yeah.
Probably at the start of my bodybuilding journey.
Yeah, because I remember following you when I did bikini.
No way.
So that was 2016.
Oh my God.
Which yeah, that's is when we moved mental, here. Mental, yeah.
We moved here 7 years ago. You were bikini 7 years ago?
Yeah. Oh my God. I know.
We're totally going off piste already, but I know. Mad. But you're here in Dubai, and I don't know if I can say this on camera or not, but you kind of sneakily told me, you were like, I haven't booked a flight home yet.
Yeah. I know, just because the show season's just finished as well. Mm-hmm. This is the perfect time for me just to come away and just still be able to work from home, but still be able to, because my routine is my biggest thing. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm not someone that, like, even when I was on the cruise, I needed to stick to my routine and stick to structure daily.
I saw all that. You were doing cardio and training on the boat with all, like, I know. The OAPs just doing their steps on the treadmill.
I know. That was, if I can do that, I can do anything, I tell you that, because there was like 20 desserts for breakfast, lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
Lotus croissants, Nutella croissants, donuts, muffins, crepes.
Oh, bless
and I'm
you.
Like, and little noodle 1 week post show. Because if I ate all that food, I would have rebounded, which is why I always tell my clients not to go on holiday within the first month, because I'm experienced and I went through the process, I know what the consequences are if I did go away and eat all that food. But yeah, it was an experience to say the least. But now we're here in Dubai.
You are indeed. And like you said, your show season for your clients is now finished. You've been an online coach for many, many years. So I was like, I had all these notes prepared and I got so flustered leaving, I completely forgot to bring them. And I messaged my husband when I got here and I was like, I forgot my fucking notes. And he was like, just chill. You'll go into autopilot and just think about what you'd like to know about Erin and why you've been following her for such a long time. Because that's what this podcast is all about, guys. Exactly what it's about. People that I find inspiring, getting into their mindset. I'm a big fan of your own podcast, Take Up Space. I will drop all the links and stuff below so that people can go ahead and have a little listen. I think I'm 10 episodes in. I'm 2 behind. I'm sorry, Erin. But it was my birthday week. You released one. I was very busy. So I've got 2 to catch up on. But we need to go like right back, because if somebody now is watching this or listening on the audio version and they don't know who you are other than an IFBB pro, maybe they don't even follow you on Instagram and don't see how you are ridiculous on there, like ridiculous. I want to know where it all started. Like, because forgive me if I'm wrong, but you're still quite young. Like, you're nowhere near my age. I'm very much older than you. And you're extremely successful.
Before you keep going, I need to know how old you are.
I
know that you're older, but I'm not actually 100% sure.
Well, you obviously don't follow my Instagram because I announced it on my birthday, but no, yeah, I am 38 years of age.
Oh, no. Okay. Oh, no. Did I see that? I knew I was 38 or 39.
It was supposed to be in the desert with my brother. 39? No. Right. She's out. Kick her out, guys. 38 years young. Not quite at that bigger 4-0 just yet, but yeah.
If I look like you at 38, I'll be very, very happy. That's for
Let's
sure.
Just say Dubai really helps with all of the keeping everything in place.
Yeah, no, you look amazing. Oh, bless Absolutely you. Insane. But back to your question. So I started bodybuilding properly in 2016. But before that, I was a competitive dancer and swimmer. So naturally growing up, my mum used to drag me to swim in first thing in the morning before school, right to dance class after school, and then I would be in the pool until 9:30 every night because I did them both competitively. But my mum is the kind of person that stick to your routine. It'll be worth it. So I was doing competitions every weekend, doing that growing up throughout school, and then had a skiing accident, broke my collarbone.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was on a school trip.
Of course it is.
I'm an adrenaline junkie.
No.
So I was like 13-year-old me, I can go over the jumps. So I went over the jumps, but got distracted by the people on the stair lift. So I was like going over the jump, but I was actually like looking over at the people on the stair lift. So I fell off, broke my collarbone.
Oh my God.
Snapped the ligaments in my knee, and then was in a leg brace for nearly a year. And
that must have been devastating for you, like at such a young age with those big dreams and goals.
It was so mentally difficult because I couldn't bend my leg. I had to go to the hospital every month and I had like a robot cast on that had dials on the side and they would just turn it a little bit of a degree every single month. So I couldn't bend my leg properly for a whole year.
That's insane. I did not know that.
I know. Oh, so I started the gym for recovery. Mm-hmm. So I was straight into the weight section of the gym.
What was that then, at the age of like 14, 15?
Yeah.
Wow.
To try and get myself back so I could get back to my dancing and swimming. But by the time I got to that point, everybody that was in my class was already well ahead of the game. Mm. And then in that point in life as well, like that's when I struggled mentally. I was going out drinking and partying all of the time. I just didn't have a purpose.
Yeah.
So I went away to America, worked in a kids' summer camp for 6 months, and then came back and realized that my passion was helping people. Mm. Became a personal trainer and then met Sophie Brewster.
Yeah.
So she introduced me to bodybuilding, but it was WBF at the time. And I was like, no, I can't do that. I can't.
But you
do
were a dancer. Surely you could do all the whole show and flashy and the wings. No,
I just couldn't. Like, I'm not like a pageant girl. So I did PCA. But at that time, I didn't know the difference between bikini and figure. I kind of went into it completely in the unknown. Never been to a show before, never done any research, but the competitive streak in me was like, no, I'm doing this. If I go to the gym, I can step up on stage. So did that, and my first prep was what made me as both an athlete but also a coach, because I had to do all the research myself. My coach at the time wasn't the best, so I had to do a lot of that myself, and then competed in bikini.
Realised you had a fuck ton of muscle.
Yes.
And was like, this is not suited to
me. I know.
Did you do bikini trained?
Yeah, bikini trained. Yeah. So I did the PCA Scottish, came second in that, and then had a very bad rebound, gained 10 kilos in a week post-show, and then competed.
In a week?
In a week.
Wow, did you go on a cruise?
No, but I had bought every single biscuit you could possibly think of.
You did the hoarding thing. Oh, no.
But it's because I didn't know. Like, I was just going off of Instagram, so I started following all these people, seeing that post-show treats was a thing, had a massive storage box with every single biscuit and cookie you could think of, and ate it all.
Oh, wow.
Like, within, 2 days. Mad. And I just gained so much weight. Mm. And then changed coaches, did the British finals. But at that time, there was nothing. So I won the overall, but there was no money.
No.
No pro card.
Yeah.
Nothing. So then after that, that's when me and Carl got together.
So that was in 2000 and...
The end of 2018.
Yeah.
Then transferred into figure after that, because I was way too big for NPC bikini.
Now you say you're well too big, but you're small in stature. You are a tiny little bean, but carry a lot of muscle. So moving through into the IFBB, what was that like, entering that kind of prep and knowing that you were then going into a figure category where you might have been up against like taller girls and all that kind of thing?
Yeah, it was, I think the first initial transition, it felt right. because like I did follow a lot of figure girls on Instagram and I do like
muscle.
I do like muscle, yeah. And I like training hard. Like the reason why I bodybuild is because I love training, and there was no way I was going to go back and like decrease my intensity or just focus on certain areas. And when you're chasing a pro card, you need to do that for certain divisions. You do need to prioritize your weaker areas massively. And with my structure as well, I'm not a bikini girl. Like glutes is like one of my weakest areas. So it naturally felt right knowing that my structure suited better to figure than it did bikini. But
that with the swimming and the dancing, legs are developed, back width is there. Like that's why my back's quite wide from swimming as a young child as well. So,
was you a swimmer also?
Yeah, I used to swim. Not competitively like you, but just, I was a good swimmer. Yeah.
Yeah, so it just felt right. And like I've always got the mindset that I'm just going to do whatever I can. I don't care about anybody else. As long as I'm beating my previous self and I know that I'm doing everything I possibly can to showcase my best, that's all that matters. And I think because I had Carl from that transition as well, like Carl was like the first coach that I was like, I feel like
I'm being looked after here.
I can fully go, full send the process because I've got someone that genuinely has got my best interests at heart.
And how long was that time then from working with him until you turned pro?
So
was it one season or two?
Just one,
yeah. That's what I thought it was.
So I transitioned in a figure back end of 2018, competed in 2019 at the regional show, then went to Italy and won my pro card there.
So Italy has a very special place in your heart.
Yes.
Oh,
I know. It was so good because everybody was there. Like my friends were there. My dad was there. My dad's like my biggest fan.
No way.
James was there. So it was amazing.
I remember seeing that and being like, yes, I was so, so happy for you. And it was at the right time, like for you to be able to make that transition and do that.
Yeah. But I was tiny, and that's what people...
But you were shredded. You were peeled. Like, you might think you were tiny, but you had all the right body parts were there. Like, maybe, obviously, you've grown since then, but you were absolutely shredded. I remember thinking, I've never seen someone so shredded in all my life. Like, oh my God, look at her quads. And I remember thinking, I think I probably said to Darren, I was like, there's no way she's not winning this. I was like, she's winning this. It's mad.
Yeah. I think I was like 40. I think I was like 47 kilos when I won.
And what are you now? Just out of...
I was 52 when I last stepped on stage. So I'll hopefully be a little bit more next time.
You have made more progress than in that time. In the 5 years since you turned pro? 5 years? Yeah. That's mad.
I've never actually counted back how long it's been.
Yeah, 4 or 5 years. Yeah, 4 years.
That's crazy.
2019. That's mad.
I know.
And do you think then, you said about... you've always liked to train hard. You like to go in to the gym and you like to feel like you're absolutely killing yourself. Now, some people think we're strange when we say this. So where do you think that mindset has come from? That development to go in and be able to push past failure? Because you and I are both coaches and we know that that's what it takes to grow muscle, tear, repair, grow, recover, heal, rest. But when we work with clients and we try and get that across, it's sometimes quite difficult for them to understand. Like, you've got to push past that pain barrier. Where do you think you learned that? Do you think it was from your childhood, like the competitive sports that you did? Like, did you fail in those? Were there times when you did dancing, swimming, and you had to pick yourself back up and be like, let's go again?
I think some stems from the fact of my background. Like, I'm always like, push a little bit harder. You can do a little bit more than what you think. But a lot is from actually training with men.
Yeah.
Like training with people that are bigger than you, stronger than you, they will be able to push you to places that you've never been able to push yourself before, which is why I always either get my clients to try and train with a man or I'll take them through a session.
Yeah, 100%.
Because that's when you'll realize what true intensity actually is, and you'll realize that it's your mind that's your biggest weakness as opposed to your body, because you will be able to do a lot more than what you think you can, do.
It's so true. It's so true. And it's funny you say training with guys. I was the same. Like, before we moved to Dubai, I trained at a gym in Watford called Zone Gym. And I remember training with Darren and his training partner, Ben, at the time, and doing the leg press with them. And I was like, just take a couple of plates off. I can do that way. And I would just like, I'd have to push through it. And, you know, I think when you train with somebody else that's stronger than you and they know what they're doing, they're more experienced, yeah. you learn so much. And like you said, it's that pushing past failure and knowing that mechanically there's more in you.
Yeah.
It's the physical kind of pain, the soreness, the mental barrier where you're scared to go down in that squat again and get back up. Will I get back up? But it's like once you do that a few times, you realize, okay, I can do it. And then that doesn't become a fear anymore. Yeah. Like there's certain movements that I still struggle with and I fear because mechanically, you know, I'm struggling with my knees and stuff at the moment. But things like a leg press never scare me anymore. Like yeah. I'm not scared of a shoulder press. I don't worry. I just think, well, if I don't get it, it just drops back down.
Exactly. So and that's the thing as well. Once you have reached failure and realize that you're not going to die.
Yeah. What's the worst that can happen? It'll come down to a dead stop and you just slide out.
Exactly. Like, yeah. And the majority of females, a lot of equipment is made for bigger men.
Mm.
So and the majority of females as well, like if the machine dead stops, you're not going to be trapped.
No.
You're going to be absolutely fine. But I think a lot of people's egos are the problem. Mm. A lot of people's, in the sense that they think that people care if they fail in a machine.
See, now I think it's awesome when I see someone in a pendulum squat and they fail and fall out of it. I'm like, yes, you took that to failure. Like, exactly. I would never judge anybody. I wouldn't think, oh, you didn't do it. I'd be like, sick, that person's actually training hard.
Yeah. But I think a lot of females, especially that are coming new into the industry, they're scared to video their sessions, but they're scared to take it to failure because they're scared of judgment from other people.
Mm.
But once you actually realize that nobody truly gives a shit about you, you only think that they do. Everybody's so focused on themselves. They're focused on their workout. Mm-hmm. They don't care what you're doing.
Yeah, literally, we were just saying this as you came in because you've just trained at Banus Gym and you were telling me, oh, it's not really your vibe. It's a bit too egotistical in there at times. And I'm like, it is. It's one of the best gyms in the world. It's very Instagrammable. People come in there to film all the time, do their check-ins and all the rest of it, take the tops off and whatnot. There's constantly people in there filming reels and all that. But I was saying to you, I was like, it is very well equipped. And once you get your head around all the kit and what you've got to do and you've got your program, I literally walk in there, my cap's on, my headphones are in, I'm not looking at anyone. And often Darren and I train at the same time and he'll come out and say, oh, did you see so-and-so was in? I said, no, I didn't. Like, I literally, my head is down.
Yeah.
And I'm like in my logbook, I'm in my session. And I think when you're that focused on making progress, you don't look at anyone else and no one else is looking at you, to be honest. Nobody really cares. And if they do, so what? Yeah. Like, it's not their goal. It's not their issue.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm excited to train there tomorrow with you.
Are we doing push? Are we actually?
I thought we were doing legs.
Oh, no, we're definitely not doing legs. It's on Friday. Are we doing push or legs? Oh, God, do you want to do legs? Oh, no. Oh, no. What am I signed
up for? I'm sure you messaged and said legs on Thursday.
Oh, no, I said push and arms. I was like, let's do delts together. Come on.
Oh, well, we can do delts.
Okay. Have you trained legs since you got here?
No, that's the problem. I didn't train legs today.
Save legs for dungeon. Do dungeon on Friday. You'll like legs there.
Okay.
Because it's got all the kit that I can't use because my knees are a bit fucked at the minute. But that's another story. But let's get back onto coaching. So when did your... it used to be coached by Erin. I remember this way back when. And it was so cute, that logo and everything. I know. How do you feel about that now, looking back at that?
Oh, it's so cringe.
Oh, no, it's really?
No, but it's...
But we all start somewhere. Like,
it's got a huge place in my heart.
Exactly.
So.
That was when you first... So when was the first message, DM, person that you coach? Can you remember when that came about?
Yeah, Lucy Warnock was my very first.
You actually remember her name?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, she was my very first client. Well, like my very first like online client, because I used to be a personal trainer before. Mm-hmm. And then when COVID, I was kind of like in that crossway where I was doing like 40 hours in the gym a week. And then I was starting to like get online clients, but mm-hmm. I didn't have enough online clients to match my pay.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was during COVID, we got those government grants. So I was like, oh, well, I don't need a personal training anymore. Mm-hmm. I'll take advantage of this time and start building up my online clientele. So a lot of personal trainers like use that time to chill. I fully sent lockdown. Mm. I was doing lives.
Yeah.
Lives on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. I was doing challenges and I got quite a lot of clients during that time that once lockdown was over, mm-hmm. I had to pay the government grants back. But I also fully transitioned into online. But yeah, my first client was Lucy Warnock, and she stayed with me for like 4 years. Then she decided to retire from bodybuilding, but she was still keep in touch. She's actually coming to my Christmas party in November.
And how has it evolved from Coach by Erin into Femivo, which it is now?
So Coach by Erin, basically, Coach by Erin, we had another coach in the company. Mm-hmm. But I'm the kind of person that I never want to take anything away from other people as well. Mm. So like, I wanted to build a brand that other coaches also wanted to be proud of and not be the Erin show.
Yeah.
And Coach by Erin was Erin show. But when it came to like the decision, I was like, Femivo, female evolution, and then our taglines take up space. Mm-hmm. Because I am huge on females embracing their authenticity, being whoever they want to be without any fear, without any judgment, whether it comes to their appearance, the amount, the way that they look, the way that they dress. It's a completely non-judgment, a judgment-free zone.
Yeah.
And take up space just is something that is...
Do what you want to do and be who you want to be.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love that.
Changing to that meant that other coaches as well would feel like they wanted to be a part of that and represent the brand as a whole. And I don't want to take all the limelight either. Like, all like my other coaches on the team, I want them to have a lot of success and I want them to be their own.
Brilliant. And how many coaches do you have at the minute?
Two.
Excellent. And do they work with more lifestyle, or are they moving into kind of the prep realm, or do you handle all the prep girls?
So I do all the prep girls now. Mm-hmm. Dana is a mixture of both, but Dana's going to be a full-time prep coach probably by the end of this year, because a lot of her inquiries are coming in from prep. And then Danny is lifestyle and more like people that want to just live a balanced, healthy lifestyle. But I did have another coach before, and I think it's very important for anybody that is wanting to get another coach is to make sure that their coaching style and their ethos is the exact same as yours. Because what was happening on Coach by Erin was I was going on and being like, you need to train hard, you need to prioritize your sleep, you need to make sure that you're getting your meals in.
Yep.
And then the other coach was going on being like, take a day off. It's totally fine to not track your macros for a whole month.
Yeah.
So like the consumer was coming, or the customer was coming on, and they were like, well, what is Coached by Erin?
Yeah.
Is it a team of people that work hard and show up?
Yeah.
Or is it, what's the word that I'm looking for? Like intuitive and if it fits your macros kind of.
Yeah, kind holistic of approach.
Holistic, that's the word that I'm looking for, babe. Yeah.
No, and that's right. And Femivo is all about strong female mindset and an evolution. Yeah. So it is about getting strong. And do you know what? You can do that in a prep realm. You can do it in a lifestyle realm. Yeah. I'm the same. Like, I've got prep girls, I've got lifestyle clients, but I expect them all to want to work hard on becoming the best version of themselves, whatever that might be. So whether it is them overcoming their, you know, poor relationship with food, their binge eating, maybe it is about them getting stronger, losing some weight. I don't know if it's the same for your lifestyle clients, but at my age, the majority of mine, I would say age between 30 all the way up to 60, because I think at my age, people can relate to me. So it's the same with you. You probably get inquiries with women of your age that relate to you and see, well, she's a similar age to me. She's managed to grow this muscle in this time. You know, she's a competitive bodybuilder. That's something I'm looking into. Or I think often coaches think that if you are a bodybuilder or you're sharing your journey, that that's the wrong message to send on your Instagram. And I'm like, absolutely not. Like, obviously, you know that I'm a business mentor to other coaches. And I would say you need to share your journey, because that builds relatability and trust. People want to know how you've got to where you are, and your experience and everything that you've gained along the way. Your knowledge is hugely valuable. And why would they trust you otherwise if you've not got some kind of journey that you're on? And ultimately, we're always on a journey somewhere.
Yeah. And people buy into people at the end of the day. That's why the majority of your clients come to you, because they genuinely like you as a person.
Yeah. And I think that's something that, anyway, that's probably a discussion for another time. Yeah. But I could get in my bee in a bonnet about business mentors and other people doing silly things on Instagram.
Oh, but, don't worry. We're going to be talking about that on mine. Do not worry.
Doing another podcast straight after this. We're going to switch seats and then she's going to be interviewing me and we have no notes for either of them. So this is going to be a long evening. Let's hope the guys can keep up here at recording. Okay, so let's move it along then to coaching. So you're a pro at this point. Coaching business is thriving. It's growing exponentially. You're getting new sites all the time. How are you managing being a pro and being an elite business owner and an entrepreneur? Because like I said at the intro, you've got your podcast, you've got your YouTube. You know, how do you keep up with everything and still focus on your own personal goals in bodybuilding?
Routine, baby. It's like clockwork. Mm-hmm. Like I get up every morning, 5, and then from 5 till 6, that's my time. So I do my gratitude, do my journal, and then go for a walk. Mm. And then that's my time that I focus on me. And then from there, and read a book as well. I know that you love your books.
I love my books. I've got a book club. I think you have a book club too.
Yes.
I'll have to link it down below. Yeah, definitely. You need to send me all the links of everything.
routine is the most important thing. Like I'm focused. So basically, a business lady from 6 a.m. right through until my check-ins are done. So in the UK, it's normally until midday. Then after that, it's athlete mode. So when I go into the gym and train, 1 till 3 normally, phones off.
Yeah.
Do not disturb on train. Mm-hmm. Then after that, come home and then do all my stuff that's like doesn't require as much cognitive function. Mm-hmm. So like replying to emails, training programs, editing reels, that kind of stuff. I do that in the evenings.
Yeah.
Because that's not the check-ins obviously is
the priority.
The priority. Mm. So I get like my heaviest workload done in the morning, then.
And it sounds like you're most productive in the morning as well, similar to me.
100%. That's why I really like being over here because...
You're four hours ahead of everybody.
Exactly. Oh, I was
think
like...
how much you could get done.
I was like, I finished all my check-ins today at 9. And I was like, hold on a minute. That is 5 o'clock in the UK.
Yeah.
I've done everything. My WhatsApp is cleared.
Yeah.
Like normally at 9 o'clock, I've got like 30 unread messages. Mm-hmm. So from a productivity perspective, like it's... much better out here.
Yeah. Just wait until tomorrow morning because you're 4 hours ahead. You'll get messages come through at like 6 p.m. UK time and you'll be already asleep and you'll wake up and go, 47 WhatsApp messages. Okay.
No.
But don't turn your phone on until you've done your gratitude, your walk and all of those things. That's my thing as well. I have my phone on Do Not Disturb from 10 p.m. at night until 7 in the morning. And I'm very similar to you. Like I wake up at... my alarm is always set for 4:30. I'm always awake before 4:30. I don't know what it is. I think it might have been from prep, but I naturally wake up at that time. And my Oura Ring keeps telling me that's my chronotype. So I'm like, I'm just going to roll with it. I'm always in bed by like 9:30, 10 the latest. And by about 4 a.m., I'm starting to wake up naturally. And then I do the same sort of thing. Like, well, I have the dogs. So it's like, take the dogs out for a wee. I do a bit of meal prep. And then I'm into the office and I do my gratitude journal first. And then I actually do like a good hour, an hour and a half of admin work. So that's when I look and go, right, what emails do I need to respond to? What admin tasks are going to take more brain power? Because for some reason at 6 a.m., I'm really, really productive. And I get a lot of that kind of stuff done. I don't know if you're the same, but my morning time is when my brain is like,
yeah,
fired.
100%. Mm. And it's because it's a priority. Like for me, like people say that you can't be a good bodybuilder and a good like coach at
the
same time.
Yeah, they say you can't do both.
But you can. Mm-hmm. It's time management. Mm. Like doing check-ins and stuff, it doesn't take that long if you don't procrastinate.
Yeah.
It's when
you're... turn your phone over.
I don't
put
even...
put it other way and focus
I don't even have my phone in the room while I'm doing check-ins. Mm. So I'm like, check-in, on to the next one.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. And then, like you said, the other stuff you do in the afternoon, and I'm the same, I think it's... And how do you manage like podcasts, recordings, editing? Do you do any of that yourself or do you get it all done in the studio? Go on, be honest. Are you tech savvy?
What?
Are you tech savvy?
Well, when I did YouTube properly,
yeah.
I need to get back to YouTube every single week. I'm like, because I've got my camera with me. And I'm
do
like,
it.
I need
You're
to,
in Dubai. Let's
I
do
need
it.
To, I need to vlog.
Let's open it tomorrow at the start of our session. Yeah. Hi, guys.
Yes.
I'm in Dubai.
Let's
training
do
at
it.
Vanusa Vex. Let's go. I'll get my camera out too, because I need to vlog this week as well.
I need to get back. The problem with YouTube is I'm just out of that routine of it. Mm-hmm. But and because the way that I do my podcast, I kind of do like a... I make them kind of more
like chilled.
Chilled, giving people an update before I actually get into the episode. But yeah, they basically do the editing for me.
That's good. It's a bit like this place.
Which is good.
So handy.
It's just more efficient from a time point time perspective. Because time is money. Yeah.
Yep. So funny that we said that at the same time. Do you know what? I don't know if you find this, but being a female and wanting to stay on top of your female evolution of your body and, you know, getting your hair and your nails and everything done, do you find that stuff really grinds on you when you're like, I haven't got 3 hours to go and sit in the nail salon? Really annoys me.
I get anxiety.
Right? It's not just me. Like, my hair needs doing. My lashes need redoing. I'm like, but when am I going to book that in? I've got so much freaking work to do. I don't know if it's just me.
Oh, no, it's not. I can't, like, I go to, like, a Chinese... nail
so bad.
It's probably
it's not really PC, but
no,
okay.
But it's probably really bad for my
but
nails.
I know what you're gonna say. It's because they're really freaking
quick. Yeah. An hour. I'm like watching it because it's men that do it as well. Like I'm just like watching them, and I'm like, it's so fascinating how quick they do it.
Well, you're gonna like it here because you can get all of it done at the same time. So like, I go to Tips and Toes. Oh, that's a big shout out. They should sponsor the podcast, I swear. But I go to Tips and Toes. I get a mani pedi. I get head, neck, and shoulder massage, and then I try and listen to a podcast at the same time. I'm like, at least I need to do something educational.
Yeah.
So like, I put my headphones in and I say, I'm really sorry, ladies. I'm just gonna listen to this. And then I have like three ladies working on me, and in an hour and a half, nails are done, I've had a massage, feel relaxed, and I've listened to something educational. I'm like, if I can't make that time productive, it really, really grinds on me.
Wow.
Lashes is the only one I can't master yet, because even if I put a podcast on to listen to, I still fall asleep when I
get
my lashes
done.
Oh no, but
that is productive.
It's nap time.
That's nap time.
On prep, that was brilliant.
I love it. So that's the, like, lashes is my non-negotiable, because like, that
I think
is...
I might have to go to my coffin with these on, like... If they start falling out, I'm like, I'm going to look like an actual boy.
I just go for the sleep.
The nap.
Wake myself up snoring. So bad.
Dribbling.
Yeah. It's so bad. I have to apologise to her every
I
single
think
time.
I must be used to it.
Like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, fuck.
Oh my God.
I know.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, those are my little things that...
They make me feel feminine.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's so important for every single female, especially in their off seasons, to do that. Because it makes you feel good.
It's one of the reasons that I got my boobs done. Like, I've never been quiet about that. And I think it's when you grow a substantial amount of muscle, especially with us, with shoulders. My delts were bigger than my boobs. I was like, that needs to change. I'm not happy with that.
See, I was the opposite.
Oh, really?
I used to have massive boobs I started bodybuilding. And then once I started bodybuilding...
And they disappeared.
They disappeared,
yeah,
but I was just left with like this like...
Empty
beanbag,
basically. Yeah.
That's what it was like. Yeah. So... I got them done basically right after my first show. And they've been the best thing ever.
That and teeth and all the other things.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. Like, do things that if you're not happy with something, change it.
Yeah. And ultimately, that's why we go into the gym. Everybody steps into the gym for a reason. They're not happy about something in their life or about their body. And so that's where it's a non-judgmental space, because really we're all going in there to improve ourselves in one way or another. So taking that angle and coming to... Pro debut, walk us through that. How was your pro debut for you? Can you take yourself back to that season? How many shows did you do?
Just two.
Yeah.
So I've only done eight shows.
As a pro or in total?
In total.
Shut up. That's more than I did to try and get my pro card.
Yeah. I've
only, less than I did to get my pro card.
I've only done eight shows.
Mad.
So I've done like two shows a season. That's it. So I did the Bahamas, and then I did... Orlando Orlando and Bahamas was my pro debut. That was a Puerto Rico pro.
I remember watching the YouTube for this.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it was during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So flew over and everything myself. And Bahamas was very much expectation versus reality. Like, really? Bahamas is beautiful if you're living in the Atlantis.
Okay.
Bahamas itself.
Scary.
It's terrifying. No, I slept like a little condo in like this normal little like village, and I had to sleep with the sofa.
But we know this about you, that you're notoriously not good at booking Airbnbs or flights, and you seem to fuck them up every time you travel, don't you? You've openly said this. This is not me outing you.
I know. It's so bad. It's because I'm like, right, that's why I've got a PA now. Mm. Because I book everything as quick as I possibly can or last minute.
Yeah.
So it's like either I'll book my flight like an hour before or I'll book an Airbnb, but I'm like, right, that's one. Pay. Done. I don't really research the locations.
Do you know what?
Because
that's like admin of life stuff that's boring. I don't like admin of life stuff. I'm like, oh, I don't. I'm like that. I give that to Darren. I'm like, go on, you find us a nice Airbnb. I can't be bothered. I'm like, I don't have the time for this.
I know. Oh. So it was very much expectation versus reality. The food as well, like some one little salmon breast was like £30.
No.
I was spending like honestly like £100 a day on food.
That's crazy. And what was the show like?
So the show was good, but we got the peak completely wrong for that show. And on show day, I literally looked like 12 weeks out.
No.
I've hardly posted any photos from my pro debut. All the photos from my pro season is when I was in Orlando, because that was when I looked my best. But the,
and how many weeks difference between?
Just one. Oh, okay. I'll need to show you the...
Oh, my God. Yes.
The
the
difference, because it was dramatic. Like, it looked like I had honestly gained about 10 kilos of muscle in the space of a week. But it's just because didn't carb up enough.
Mm.
Water was manipulated. Mm. Salt was manipulated for that first peak. And I just woke up like a balloon for my pro debut. So that was an experience as well, because prejudging was on the Saturday, finals was on the Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And with that show as well, even if you didn't make top 10, you still had to go on and do your eye walk and everything on the Sunday.
And you'd known if you'd made top 10 or not by that point, but they tell you. Yeah. Oh, that's hard.
I know.
And as a pro, not showing up to do that is actually disrespectful to the Federation. Like, you 100%. Have to. Yeah.
But I didn't have any expectations for that show. I came 12th, so I was happy. That's what I wanted. I was like, I'm wanting a top 12.
Mm.
And then this season, the goal was to get top 10. So we're working up the ranks, baby. We're getting there.
Talk us about this season then. So you took quite a long time away from stage then, between your pro debut season and this one. Didn't you take a full year?
Full year off,
18 months or something?
Yeah, I took a full year off and then started prep in January. Because of the way that the UK show season is, for me, is because that's the thing. For
it's
my
the hardest thing to manage.
Pro debut, I had three girls competing in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So because of the time difference, I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning doing their check-ins, trying to go back to sleep, but they were checking in by the meal.
Yeah.
And I was like there and I was like, I wish I was back in the UK.
Mm.
So one thing that I promised myself was I'm going to compete when there's a break and that I've got no clients competing within a 3 week period, so I can actually focus on what I'm doing. So that's what I did this year, apart from obviously having Dana compete at both of the shows that I did.
But she was with you. Yeah.
It was easy to manage with her being there. But yeah, the off season went good. It was very controlled. I definitely probably could have got a lot bigger than what I did.
Mm.
But there was like a period of time that I was in maintenance for some time. And then, started prep and then changed coaches at, I think it must have been like 5 or 4 weeks out.
Yeah.
Changed coaches.
It's a big decision to make when you're on a prep.
It was so hard. Mm. It was the hardest decision I've honestly ever made, because I loved Carl.
Mm.
He was amazing. But there was just too much little things. And when it means so much to you as well, like...
Yeah.
I needed to make that change then, as opposed to waiting.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that would have relieved a lot of stress for you if it was playing on your mind. You know, going into the final few weeks, knowing that you'd made a decision and you were moving to someone that you felt more comfortable with, that would have just made you go, and then...
I just need it straight blank. I was just too much decisions being changed within 30 minutes. Like waking up, okay, we're having a low day today. And then I'll ask why, because I dropped weight or whatever. Then 10 minutes later, okay, we're high day. And I'm like, well, do you want me to do a low day or do you want me a high day? But because I'm questioning it.
Yeah. And that's not what you need when you're on a prep and you're 5 weeks out.
It's just like how just I am.
Tell me what to do.
Yeah, it's just like how I am as a coach as well. I'm like straightforward. Like, this is the plan. That's it.
Yeah. I had a client message me on the way here.
And I'll explain why.
I had a client message me on the way here and she was like, thanks for the feedback, blah, 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 blah. And she was like, just, you know, waiting for that high day, that refeed day. And I said, don't worry, when you need one, you'll get one.
Yeah.
That's literally how I said it. I was like, you can keep on asking. I'm not giving it to you. I was like, it will come when it will come.
I know. But so yeah, it was good. Alicante was amazing. Really, really good show. Like Emilio does the most incredible.
The European shows are amazing. They're beautiful, aren't they?
It was so amazing. Like the venue was incredible.
Yeah.
Portugal, on the other hand, was a shit show.
But isn't Portugal the one where you come up from the stage?
Yeah.
And it's I thought that would be sick.
It's not, because it rocks. And if you're wearing a pair of heels and there is a table and it spins
it
fast. When you're standing in a pose and you've barely drank any water all day, it's 35 degrees outside, you're sweating buckets and you're trying to hold a pose. You're like shaking about. It was horrible.
So it looks beautiful, but it's horrible to experience.
It's a show for the audience.
Yeah, that's true.
And even then, the audience couldn't take any pictures or anything.
No, because you're spinning too bloody fast.
No, and he wasn't allowed.
No.
He wasn't allowed to take any pictures or anything. I didn't like the experience. So the tanning time as well. Like, I was on stage 1:30, but my tanning slot for my class was 12 to 1.
Oh, my God.
And it was just one coat of tan.
No.
So no day before tan or anything. And it was men. So I'm like standing there. And
Yeah, the men do all the tanning in Europe, don't they?
Oh,
yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. It just makes you feel really uncomfortable.
But do you think from your pro debut season to this one, you'd made the necessary improvements? You were happy with your physique?
Yes. 100%. But I'm the opposite from you. I get worse the more I compete.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if that's why my seasons are always a lot shorter, because my look deteriorates the deeper I get into la prep. No matter how much, like even from Spain to Portugal, my look changed.
Yeah. You start fading.
Even then, no matter how much I fill up, I don't look fresh. I just end up looking.
And how long are your preps?
That one was 26 weeks.
See, that's a long prep.
Yeah.
And I say it like that, but I did 38 weeks in 2021. Like, we all know this. That was a stupid prep. But that, let's be real, I should have stopped at like 30. I pushed on for another 8 weeks. But the last prep I did, obviously, it was where I got my pro card. That was 12 weeks. It was a shotgun prep. And I was like, no, we're not going to drop like 30 pounds in 12 weeks. Surely we did.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting that you say that your body fades. And do you think, between your kind of, because that when you turned pro and you went into your off season, that was your first real off season as a pro.
Yeah.
And you kind of hinted at the fact that you'd made progress, but perhaps you hadn't pushed hard enough. And this is a topic I kind of want to get onto if we've got enough time to discuss it, is that as a female bodybuilder, how and when to kind of push that envelope and know how far to push things. And it's something that you and I probably get asked all the time on Instagram. We get asked by clients about females that are assisted.
Yeah.
And it's something that I think, to a degree, yes, you need to be safe and knowledgeable about and do all the research and the blood work and have all that discussion with your coach and stuff. But that's kind of where I'm at the moment in terms of a predicament. You know, I'm 38 years of age. I've turned pro. I'm doing my first off-season as a pro, but it's knowing where to go with that and what you feel comfortable with.
Exactly.
How did you feel in that off-season?
So my off-season before my second season as a pro. Well, my last recent off season, barely used any assistance because I didn't feel comfortable doing so because of my age.
Yeah.
I've still got a long time ahead of me when it comes to competing. And longevity is so important, but so is my own ethos and my own values. So yes, I probably could have pushed drugs more than what I did, but I didn't feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
Because it's taken into consideration as well that your time with exposure in a prep is going to be long.
Yeah.
Especially if you've got like a longer season as well. Mm-hmm. So I actually made probably the majority of my progress in the 8 weeks before going into prep. So basically that's when we added in assistance. Mm-hmm. We grew into prep for that first part and then added assistance in at the end. But it is all down to your preference and how much you're willing to do and how much you're willing to sacrifice as well, because the girls are not getting any smaller.
No.
Especially in the figure division as well. They're getting bigger and bigger every year. Mm-hmm. But for me personally, I know that my time is going to come eventually. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I'm in no rush.
Yeah.
I'll go at a pace that I feel comfortable with, because if you look at the top 10 at the Olympia, if you look at, for example,
Sid. The Olympia is actually Jessica, this weekend.
Jessica, Padella, Rhea, they don't look masculine.
No.
It's the people that are like, that have made a shitload of progress in a very short time. Mm-hmm. That's when
the femininity goes.
Yeah. The virilization starts to happen. And I'm just not willing to risk that. I'm obviously willing to risk to an extent and knowing when to push. So back end of a prep, 100%.
Yeah. And like you said, the exposure on a prep is a lot in terms of like time. So you don't need to be doing big stints in your off season. And it's funny that you mentioned that point, because you and I probably both see it. And I think maybe for like the amateur athlete or the lifestyle kind of client, they don't know the difference when they see muscle that's grown naturally and muscle that's grown in a push and grown with assistance. And you can see the difference when someone grows too quickly and has pushed things too far, too fast. And you and I both come from a background where we were sporty as children. I grew a lot of muscle. I competed as a natural athlete for 5 years before going down that route. So it's like the muscle maturity was already there. And so it's like any form of assistance is like the sprinkles on top.
Yeah.
Because everything else is there. The fundamentals are there.
Yeah.
You know, training adherence, intensity, strength. Like you could have all those things even when you're not on assistance. Like nothing changes. Your strength doesn't dip. You probably find this when you're not on assistance. It's like, well, no, my squats are still the same. My leg press is still the same.
Yeah.
Nothing changes because the mentality of training performance is still there. And so you still have the muscle to be able to push. But yeah, I think it's true what you say. Like, I think as bodybuilding develops and more physiques come through the ranks, you can kind of see the difference. And to a degree, I think the IFBB are trying to nail down on that a little bit.
Yeah.
They're not rewarding the bigger muscular girls that are in figure. And they're actually saying to them, well, you should be going into other divisions. And, you know, the fact that they brought back women's bodybuilding is saying, look, that's open. That category is now available to you. Let's keep the other categories to what they should
be. I think there is still a very big difference between bikini and figure. So like they've really reverted back to what bikini was like a couple of years ago. Whoever wins the Olympia this weekend is going to obviously, that kind of dictates how the rest of the next season is going to go in terms of winners. But with figure, especially in the European shows, they are absolutely massive. But it's also judges as well. Some judges prefer the bigger looks. Some judges prefer smaller.
Yeah. And it's really hard because a lot of my competing history has been in Europe, and I've had that where I've come in my best and had, you know, balanced structure and brought the level of leanness. But I would say how many times, 4 or 5 times I've come up against like mass monsters, like girls that are way bigger than me, carry tons more muscle, or have been really tall in structure and I've lost to. And I'm like, I'm never gonna turn pro. But I think it's like you said, it's getting in front of the right judges and those that are more in line with what the, you know, the federation's about.
Yeah.
But the Olympia this weekend, will you be watching it?
Of course.
You do know how late it's going to be for us to watch.
I know.
It's like pre-judging starts on Friday night for us. So you'll have to be up from like 9 p.m. through till midnight to watch all of pre-judging. Go to sleep 3 hours, wake up then for finals.
Absolutely no chance. I'm sorry, but no.
But at least try and see pre-judging. I'll be like, try and see pre-judging. Oh, no. Try and watch it.
I go to bed at like 9 o'clock latest.
You're the same as me then.
Yeah.
I literally, I'm like, I'll put something on the TV, or I'll say Darren tries to put something on. And he's like, right, you done with work? Are we going to watch something? Yeah, babe, absolutely. Let's get an episode in. Baked oats are going in.
Yeah.
And then I'm gone, literally.
But it's a Saturday and Sunday.
So we've got Friday, Saturday. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So Saturday, I don't have work on a Saturday. I don't have client check-ins on a Saturday. So I could stay up.
Yeah.
But
treat.
We'll see.
Treat ourselves.
Treat ourselves. But if those pajamas and the fluffy socks are on, I game know. Over. I'm gone.
I know. But yeah, I'll be definitely watching that this weekend.
Amazing. And so happy with how this kind of season went then, all in all. Even with the switch at 5 weeks out. You were proud of the physique that you brought.
Yeah.
Happy with your placings.
Yes, because the goal was to get top 10.
Yeah.
But even then, it was this season was just getting much feedback as possible, mm-hmm. getting in front of some different judges.
Good.
But next season, I'm going to be a little bit more strategic in terms of my shows and mm-hmm. where I'm going to compete. Because with... like M-Pro, the head judge was Becky. Mm. So Becky, like I got feedback from Becky after and she loves like more petite figure girls.
Yeah.
But she was like, oh, you should go over and compete in America.
I was about to say the States, yeah.
So I think I'm going to do America and Canada mm-hmm. next year and see.
Okay.
I just need to grow everywhere.
Yeah. Don't we all?
I just need to grow, baby.
It's the mission of our lives. It's just growing constantly. So I have a few questions to ask you then. In terms of your entire kind of bodybuilding journey, what would you have said would be some of the hardest moments that you have encountered? Because being a bodybuilder is tough both physically, mentally, doing the prep, doing the off-season, managing a business, but it also affects your own personal life as well. Like, obviously you're married. I remember you getting married. Like, was it before prep started or was it afterwards?
Yeah, it was...
Right before you.
That's why I had like a very, quite a long period at maintenance during my off season because I didn't want to go into my wedding looking like Mrs. Trunchbull.
you would like never
a
look
a booch bride coming.
Do you know you say that, but I did the same. Yeah. I did a diet for my wedding because I was like, these shoulders are not going to look good in my breakfast wedding dress. Yeah.
And then I didn't obviously want to look stage lean either. So I was kind of like, it's maintenance. And then went to Ibiza. And as you can imagine, I lost quite a lot of bit. So then...
That's quite a honeymoon.
I had to build it back up.
What would you say has been like some of the toughest moments that you've been through?
Toughest moments, definitely. Mm. My family.
Yeah.
Because when I started bodybuilding, I originally come from a very small town. There wasn't anybody that did bodybuilding. I was literally the first person. So I was the talk of the town. Like my mum's friend, like, you know, like that small mind mentality. My mum's friends were like getting involved.
The neighbors.
Yeah, everybody was talking about it. And I'm like, I'm doing a freaking bodybuilding competition. What is the big deal?
Yeah.
My mum just... She kind of disowned me for a bit of time. Like, she didn't speak to me. She was trying to feed me. So, like, she would, like, come round to my house and she would have baked, like, cakes. And she's just, like, a massive foodie. But I don't know why she was, like, I think she wanted to look after me as well, I think. And I think because I was entering the unknown, she found it really difficult.
Yeah.
So I think that was the biggest thing that I struggled with, and it wasn't until after the British finals that she kind of came round and started to like it a little bit more. But yeah, I think family. But even then, like, I'm the kind of person that if this something means a lot to me, I don't care about other people's opinions. Like, I'm just going to do what I need to do. And then with James, he just goes with the flow.
He's so chilled.
He's very, very chilled. So he just goes with the flow. First prep, like, obviously, he didn't have a clue what was happening. And he does like a Chinese and everything. So
it's hard to navigate for a partner when they're not in this world.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. And most kind of bodybuilders, pros, are married or in relationships with other pros and things like that. So I think it's incredibly strong-minded of a man like that to be able to allow you to pursue this but know that you're still his wife and you still have, obviously, you must have that personal time together where it's not all bodybuilding, it's not all work, and it's actually, what does Erin do when she's not doing all of these crazy things?
It is really difficult. Like, it is very, very, very hard because, like, I'm so, like, goal-focused and everything, and, like, he is just, like... I want to say a normal person. We're all normal, but do you know what I mean? Like, like before I did bodybuilding, we would go out and eat every weekend.
Go to the local pub, all this kind of stuff.
And I'm just, I couldn't think of anything worse now, if I'm being 100% honest. And like, it obviously is hard and like difficult, but now he like goes to the gym and he's coached by my best friend Blair and my training partner. So I've kind of pushed him to be a little bit uncomfortable as well, to kind of see if he likes it. Not to turn into a bodybuilder, but just so there's like
a commonality.
With that. So.
And I've seen in some of your YouTube and that he's there taking your checking photos and your videos and things. He's been there with a few of you, a lot of your shows and stuff.
Yeah, he loves coming to the shows.
He's incredibly supportive.
He, like, he probably follows you.
No way.
He keeps up with everybody.
Does he really?
Like, it's so funny because, like, when Phoebe Hagen competed last weekend, he messaged me. He was like, oh, Phoebe Hagen.
You're like, what's going on? So maybe you're kind of trickling stuff in and he's getting a bit more interested.
Yeah, he is very interested in it. He's just not doing it himself.
Yeah, fair enough. And you mentioned, obviously, things are tough sometimes with family and you had that difficulty with your mum kind of coming around. But you mentioned your dad has been, like, your number one supporter.
Yeah. My dad loves it.
Really?
Oh, he loves bodybuilding. Well, he loves seeing me do, I think, because he owns a business. He leaves the house. I get a lot of my traits from my dad. He gets up 4 o'clock in the morning, reads his paper, then goes to work and then comes home 5 o'clock and then he's in bed at 8 o'clock.
Oh, bless him.
So, like, I think because I'm kind of, I've got that mentality where you've got to work hard, you've got to show up. He really, I think he respects, because that's the thing, I think you respect other people that's kind of doing the same things as you.
Yeah.
And you never speak shit about someone that's doing more than you do.
No, this is so true. This is very true. You always admire those that are working hard. Like whenever you see anybody, like even if I see somebody in the gym that's maybe it's their first day in there and they're absolutely killing themselves, I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Like I get really excited when I see somebody working hard. And it's the same with business. I don't know if you find this, like the more I surround myself with people that are inspiring me and they're doing big things and I'm like, it makes me want to do more, to do better, to become a better coach and all these kinds of things. So I think that's a massive thing that obviously you've instilled from your dad. And then it's kind of carried you through into what you're doing with bodybuilding and also your business as well.
Yeah.
So what's next on the cards for Erin Femevo?
Get massive. Get massive. I am someone that fully embraces every phase because at the end of the day, like what I do now is what is going to come into fruition in a year's time. So, and of course it's like winter, maybe not in Dubai because it's always beautiful here, but like coming into winter, we've got Christmas coming up. This is the time that it's pump cover season, baby. Like cover up. But even then, like I know what my goal is and I know that this time's going to like drive me forward, but it's very much back in business now. So
show season is finished. So now
is finished. So I'm in the process of setting up my next company, which is exciting. So we've got...
Can we get an exclusive?
Yes, of course, because it's a way to launch in literally like the next like week.
No way.
It's been ongoing for like 4 months now because we're just kind of like backloading videos, getting everything organized for that. But we have got Femevo and we are way to launch Mevo. So Mevo is going to be the brother to Femevo. So it's going to be a male coaching team. We've got 3 coaches on board with that. We've got 2 people that are like going to be like prep and lifestyle, and then we've got a lifestyle coach. And then what's going to happen with Femevo and Mevo is they'll join together for posing seminars,
sick,
education, all seminars. And yeah, I think a lot of like Danny is going to cross over into Mevo as well, because she does get a lot of inquiries from guys. And that's how that business like kind of
started evolve,
because I'm like, I am restricting you as a coach. Let's do something about that and open up the platform to men as well. But I'm just going to kind of be like the ghost behind that, because
it's a lot to manage. You have to be the director behind it all.
I'm just kind of going to get, let them do their thing, and then we'll all come
That's
together.
Super exciting. Oh my goodness. And then obviously you're here in Dubai now. We're not sure when you're going home, which is we might get her back on the podcast. She might be back on again. And obviously moving into your improvement season. So haven't looked at shows next year, or are you already thinking about? I love that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Now we've got to wrap this up and we've got to do your one.
I know.
Thank you so much for watching, guys. Thank you for listening if you're on the audio version. Don't forget to like, subscribe, do all of the good things. I'll pop all of Erin's details down below in the description box and in the show notes on the audio version. And yeah, go and give her a follow. Go and drop her a message. Let her know what you thought of this. And I'll catch you in the next one. Bye for now, guys.